Caroline Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. It is noon on a Wednesday, so that means that it is, in fact, Hutton o'clock. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick joins us now. Hut, always appreciate your time and appreciate you for joining us. Titans have made a few moves so far in free agency, bringing in Tony Pollard, Lloyd Cushenberry, Chidobe Awuzie, the cornerback position, Kenneth Murray, linebacker, and Sadiq Charles, the most recent signing yesterday afternoon. Your initial impressions of what the Titans have done so far in free agency?
They've addressed key positions that they either lack depth in or just not good in to begin their overhaul of this roster. It's going to be a rebuild. This is not a quick fix. I think they got the best possible center in Lloyd Cushenberry, a proven starter, consistent. A big player. They're getting bigger at that position. They needed a Ben Jones type guy. It's rare. I heard Rex Rhodes say this, and I totally agree. It's rare to get a free agent who is at the top of his game and going into the prime of his career at his age, but also does not have a lengthy injury history whatsoever. And that's key here. Two sacks allowed over the last two seasons. For Cushenberry. I'm impressed that they jumped out and got the best possible player at that position. Tony Pollard is interesting on the surface level, but it's clear they wanted backs that are going to be interchangeable. I immediately think that they are less predictable based on which running back is on the field. And he's coming off a season where he started every game for Dallas. And then Chidobe Awuzie, if you're looking for interceptions, he's not this dude. He's not that guy. But in Denard Wilson's defense, he's a versatile player on the back end and a physical guy who will also help in the run game. But the key here is, can he cover? And he's immediately one of the three that can play all those positions. And now we get to see if they're going to go big, Caroline, at the corner position and continue that in free agency, where there's still some big names out there. And Kenneth Murray, just reading up on what his tenure has been like with the Chargers. If you're at his level and they didn't pick up the fifth year option, that's not saying very much for the veteran. So he's coming off of a year where he had a career high in tackles. He had three sacks. He broke the football up in some pass breakups, but he also just based on observers, far too often he's caught out of position. They're going to add more, and they have added more with, I believe, Baker is going to visit. But they need to do more at that spot because they literally had nobody at that spot. They have to continue to address that. And they don't have a lot of draft capital. They do have a lot of cash, and they're using it to their advantage.
Yeah, I'm pretty underwhelmed with the Kenneth Murray signing. But like you said, Bringing in Jerome Baker for a visit. The linebacker position as a whole for the Titans has just been so underwhelming over the last few years. Swing and a miss on Rashawn Evans, swing and a miss on Monty Rice. It feels like it's a position that has gone under-addressed at least over the past couple of years. But you bring up Jerome Baker, another player that the Titans are meeting with is Chase Young, which I think is a fascinating case study. What do you make of both Jerome Baker and Chase Young? And if you were the Titans, what kind of deal would you sign either of those two?
Well, I mean, I think both of those players, and maybe with Chase Young, I mean, if he's healthy from that knee injury, here's what I think of Chase Young. The 49ers traded, two picks for him, I believe. And for this short-term deal from the trade deadline this past season to now, it doesn't feel like they're even trying to bring him back. But he's coming off a season where he had 15 quarterback hits. He had eight sacks or so for the combined year with the Commanders and the 49ers. It didn't have the impact that the 49ers wanted. He's young. I think he's 25 or 26 years old. So that's to his advantage. And I think at this stage, D. Mason, Willie, chime in too, Caroline. If I'm him, I'm looking for maybe a short-term deal, 1 or 2 years to cash in and bet on himself. And then you get the long-term deal that he's looking for that he didn't get in Washington. And as far as Jerome Baker, I like him. And he would be paired up, hypothetically, if he signs with Frank Bush, who he has played with before, coaching his position. I like that pairing, and that's what they've kind of done here. They've gone with who they know, and it's pretty clear that the front office, from the management standpoint, is listening and collaborating with the coaches that are have worked with certain players, just based on what they've done in the secondary, what they could do at linebacker, and certainly what they've done overall with the deals with Callahan. I like the direction of that, with the familiarity of this new regime and what they want. That's key here, and the coaches seem to be getting the players that fit their style and system.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick. Now, you're right about that, Jonathan, in regards to Chase Young. I think it would, if indeed you do sign him, or if anyone signs him, which they will, it's a one-year deal, prove-it deal. And to me, like I told Caroline, I know some people may look at it as, say, listen, he was a former first-round draft pick, second pick in the draft. It didn't work out in Washington. They sent him to San Fran. San Fran doesn't want to sign him back. But I think the way that Rand Carthon and the Titans are looking at it as a one-year deal, a one-year prove-it deal, because if you prove it to us, then you can go out and ask for, you know, $15, $17, $18 million, which we may get the best version of Chase Young thus far. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about what they have to replace in the pass rush from what they lost with Danico Autry.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that guy, that's a big loss for them up front. And, you know, the production and the consistency, I don't think you make up in one player with who they bring in. There's going to be a couple of guys who need to bring that to the table to pair with Jeffrey Simmons and what they're doing outside. So I like the one-year deal. I like players in their final year of their contract. I bet I love wide receivers, Mace, who are in the final year of their contracts. Love them. And certainly on the pass rush and at corner, they generally play through injuries a bit better. They have more to prove and more to lose, quite frankly. And especially guys who are coming off of their rookie deal, the second contract is where you can cash in. And now he's a year behind if he's only signing a one-year deal and he's already been traded once. I like betting on Chase Young with the production of what we've seen when he's been healthy. And Mace, this is also key. The Titans in the last few years have brought in players through free agency. I'm thinking Bud Dupree and others. Mm-hmm. They've done it in the draft too, that have had an injury history. And that has not been great for production on the flip side of signing in Nashville versus where they were. I'm wary of that just based on what we've seen. But this would be again, if the Titans get what they want, this would be a low risk, high reward type signing. If in fact you get the 1 year deal, bet on yourself. And it's quite frankly, it's similar to what we've seen with some of the contracts that players that have left here recently have gone on to do. They've cashed in, and I think Al Shire's trying to do it again with what they're doing in Houston.
Now, obviously, the wide receiver position is another position of need for the Titans, and they have not addressed it via free agency. But there are still a few names out there, most notably Calvin Ridley. Now, I do expect there to be other receivers come June 1st, but you don't look that far because they have the draft coming up. If they're going to address the receiver position, they would first do it in a draft. But what do you say? Because now it went from, you know, go get Marquise Brown, which – it's a no-no, people. Stop it with that one. Now it's Curtis Samuel. Stop it with Curtis Samuel. What kills me, Hutt, is that people talk about the speed. I get it. You run the 40, you show the speed. Yeah, he showed speed in college. But he hasn't shown that speed in the NFL. There's different speed. You can play fast in college. Why? Because everybody else seemed to be slower than you. But when you step up a notch, that's when it really tells me whether you got speed or not. And this dude, Curtis Samuel, hasn't averaged over 14 yards a reception in his whole career. And he's been in the league, what, 5-6 years? So damn with the people, stop it with the speed. If you're going to talk about speed, then talk about somebody that not only shows the speed off the field, but shows the speed on the field. Tyreek type of speed. They show it off the field and on the field. And because my thing is this, a guy like Mike Evans, You don't consider him fast, right? But he averages over 13, 14 yards a catch. But then the guys you consider fast are averaging 10, 11, 12 yards.
Hollywood Brown.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, and AJ Brown comes to mind. Exactly. Not the fastest guy.
Absolutely.
But productive. Yeah. I mean, and so I like Curtis Samuel if he's the number three guy in your receiving corps. Mm-hmm. You know, like he finds the end zone. I'll give him credit for that. And I only know that through fantasy football. but he would be brought in to be more currently than what he's been. And I don't like paying a guy for that. Mm-hmm. The group of wide receivers right now, Mace, they're not the lead dog, right? Mm-hmm. Other than Ridley, but Ridley's really not that guy either, or he wouldn't be on the market right now. Mm-hmm. So I look at it from the perspective of that every team's just trying to piece things together with the free agents currently. And they don't have to rush to do it because the draft is heavy in wide receiver this year. And you can probably get a better overall productive player than what some of these guys have shown. But here's also, I mean, the Titans do need a big upgrade there.
Oh,
the
they do. Is, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Curtis Samuel would be an upgrade, even though I'm totally on your side of this with what we've seen versus the hype behind him. So can he help the Titans? Yes. Do they need to overpay for any of these guys? No. Because the other teams aren't going to do it either. If that was true, we would be seeing some of the contracts that I'm surprised by with the running back position with how quickly these guys went off the shelf.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton, OutKick. Now, how do you think or do you think or believe that the Titans are, you know, one of the front runners to acquire Ladarius Sneed? Now, what has come out is a third round pick. If they can get him for a third round pick, please do it. I mean, I know they don't have one this year, but obviously it would be the third round pick for next year. If you can get him for a third round pick, which, you know, Hutt, I don't think that's too far outside of, I don't think that's too outlandish to say, because again, you're getting a player that Kansas City feels they cannot sign. So if you cannot sign a player, what you're trying to do is get as much as you possibly can. And maybe other teams are starting to see other teams are only offering a third round pick. So a third round pick and a player may be just enough to get Ladarius Sneed here or anywhere else.
Titans need one of those picks, right? Uh-huh. They need the third round. Kansas City, though, like, I would just use Ladarius Sneed under the franchise tag if I'm just going to get a third round pick in return. That's mm-hmm. He's more valuable to my defense than a third round pick would be for their whole team.
And they don't even have a third round pick.
Well, it would be a third round for next year.
I'm just saying, like a 2025 like offer from other teams.
No way.
Hey, but hey, if that's no and way. Listen, we I don't know why we're saying no way, Hutt, because if Kansas City's going to do it, then let them do it. I take them for a third round next year.
I'm saying if I'm KC, I'm not trading him for anything like that. I would just keep him on my roster mm-hmm. and pay him under the tag, especially after Mahomes is restructured and gave him some space. Like, again, and what he's meant to that defense, I would rather have him on my team than have a third-round pick. That's just how I'm viewing his value. And I don't think they separate from him just based on that, unless there's some kind of, you know, but it's a mutual that they're trying to find a trade partner. You're going to have to give up more than that, I would think. I mean, but maybe not, because Justin Fields is rumored to be able to be traded for a third round pick, you know, which is also crazy with what's going on here. I find it hard to believe that you're going to franchise tag a player and then trade him for a third, especially with the value that he meant to the defensive side of the football, paired with Chris Jones, who they're also bringing back. So if they're going for the three-peat, they want him on that team. But he's just not going to get the long-term deal. He's going to have to play on the one-year deal. But guess who else? Chris Jones just did that. And it worked out in his favor, too. I'm not trading him for that type of value, Mace. I'm keeping him.
I hear you on that. But if they do it, then
so be
it.
If they do it,
but the Titans have to give up more than a third this year. I'm not trading him if it's for next year, a next year's pick. I would trade him for a pick this year, and the Titans currently don't have that.
Exactly.
Talk with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Derrick Henry headed to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
What do you think of that move from the Baltimore perspective and from Derrick's perspective?
I mean, from Derek's perspective, it's smart. I mean, I think it's a fit for Baltimore, but it's a fit for Henry with what his priorities have been. You know, he mentioned he wants to go and compete for a title. Baltimore gives him that opportunity. They're winning at a high level. They're playing in the AFC Championship game. They have a two-time MVP at quarterback. I mean, say what you want about what happened against Kansas City, but the fact is they handed to their running backs six times in that game. Six times running backs touched the football out of the backfield in a game where the defense for Baltimore did not allow a single point in the second half. If Derrick Henry's on that team, they're going to get the football more to the running backs instead of putting on the arm of Lamar Jackson. I like the RPO game that Derek has been in, especially whenever he was with Arthur Smith out of the pistol. Baltimore's in the shotgun a lot. If they go to the pistol, that gives Derek the opportunity to be more effective. And he was a 2,000 yard rusher in that type of offense with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback in 2020. So I like it from that angle too. I think Baltimore gets a guy that just, there are certain franchises that just have an identity that follows them no matter what year, no matter what era, no matter what regime, whatever. Baltimore is just known for being that physical team. And they now have a back that can pair with them. It just fits overall with running player and organization. It makes total sense. It's bittersweet at the same time from the Titans perspective and Titans fans perspective. I totally get it. But take the Ravens helmet off or the logo off and just know it's a franchise A, franchise B, or C. To me, the description of that team describes the running back that they just received. And they want to run the football. They're about it, and they need more than just Lamar Jackson running the football. And now for a running back that routinely had eight in the box against him stacked up, now they have options with Lamar Jackson running it on the RPO. You've got Derrick Henry, and certainly he's coming off of your Lamar is where he had the best wide receiving core so far of his career. So Mark Andrews will be back. Offensively, it makes sense, and they're bringing back a really good defense too. Henry made the right choice. If the other option was Dallas, personally, I'd rather be in Baltimore.
I think the Ravens are going to be so dangerous. I think it was a great move for both sides.
They already were, you know? Yeah. They already were. Now they get he's 30 years old. He was a target for the Ravens last season at the trade deadline. And now they get a guy who, Caroline, he led the league in three rushing categories from 2017 to 2022. In yards, touchdowns, and yards per game. And now at 30, while you don't generally see the player cash in after that age, especially at that position, they got him for $8 million a year. He's coming off a year where he's making 12. That's to me, good business by Baltimore. And I think it's a good decision by Henry.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Last one for you, Hutt. What are some positions or even players that are kind of non-negotiables for you for the Titans to address in free agency? Let's just say within the first couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, they wide receiver, just go by position here. Wide receiver has to be addressed in free agency and the draft. They need another corner. And this is me going through the angle of drafting a tackle in the first round. You know, they're clearly looking at defensive line. They want to upgrade there. And if they're going offensive tackle and we're just following the trends, Jonah Williams, I don't know if he signed within the last hour and a half, you guys may know, but the Bengals left tackle testing free agency.
Yeah.
Played right tackle after they signed Orlando Brown. Callahan would know him very well. Mm-hmm. And well, he allowed 13 sacks, before at left tackle. So he's got to be better at that angle of things. Maybe that's why he's still in the market. But again, with the right coaching, he could be dominant. Is Callahan high on him? Was that the right coaching? Again, he's been there. He knows him. The offensive line will be addressed, and it has been. But tackle, to me, is – I think I'm trending towards the draft. And if that's the case, wide receiver's got to be at the item zero of all of this for what they're doing. But they're again – there are role players at the free agent level right now. There are elite players at pick number seven that they could have. Options are open for them. And beyond that, they need another backer. I think the Jerome Baker visit will be key.
Yeah.
And I could see them, if they want to really go big, that there's still some some high-end corners on the market too that can come in and immediately upgrade at the number one spot for you and allow Chidobe Awuzie to be the guy that he's been, not the player that you're paying him to be, which typically matches up with the player that they've been in free agency. Denard Wilson will get the most out of him, but I don't know if Awuzie's trending continue to trend up, because we've already seen him paired with Denard Wilson in the past.
Yeah. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, always appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Always enjoy this segment, guys, and you guys have a good rest of the week.
Appreciate it. You too, Hutt. Jonathan Hutton, he is the very best. We'll react to what Jonathan Hutton had to say there. Plus, I know that the entire city of Nashville and all Titans fans have been mourning the loss of Derrick Henry. But there has been some spicy reaction to the Derrick Henry and Baltimore Ravens marriage in the national media sphere. I want to get D-Maze's reaction to that, and we'll do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, hey, join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and Guinness for Pinewood Madness. It's the Patio SEC Watch Party this Friday. 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., so stop by and enter for your chance to win tickets to see Green Day. Showcase your skills in Pinewood Social's arcade basketball game competition, win tournament tickets, and watch all the televised games on their jumbo LED screen. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. So it is official, unfortunately. I know it was a day that Titans fans were dreading for so long, but Derrick Henry now officially is a Baltimore Raven, and even just saying it feels strange. And I've seen jersey swap photos of Derrick Henry all over social media. Just seeing him in a Baltimore Ravens uniform looks funky. It looks wrong, but good for Derrick and good for the Baltimore Ravens, because I think the Baltimore Ravens are now a better team because Derrick Henry is part of it. But not everybody agrees with me. Not everybody agrees with what you think D-Mace, Derrick Henry, will bring to the Baltimore Ravens. Because Ryan Clark was talking about this morning on Get Up. He doesn't necessarily agree that Derrick Henry is the key to pushing the Baltimore Ravens forward. This was Ryan Clark on Get Up this morning.
When I saw that, I thought to myself, wow, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the same backfield, that could be about as dynamic as anything we've ever seen. What was your first thought?
Yeah, I mean, I think when is the last time we ever came to work and Kimberly Martin was telling us, oh my goodness, the Ravens can't run the football. Now, we've heard the Ravens won't run the football.
Yeah, they didn't.
The Ravens
didn't
run the football. But we've never had an issue with Derrick Henry having to add to a Ravens run game that has not been explosive, that has not been dynamic, that has not been physical.
Stop doing this to Josh Norman.
But they've never had anyone who could do that.
Josh Norman is
They've never had anyone who could do that.
But you've also never seen people just run up on Gus Edwards willy-nilly, right? And so we're looking at a guy like Derrick Henry replacing Gus Edwards, and you're thinking about more so the aura of Derrick Henry than what he's actually going to add to a run game that was already number one in the entire NFL. Will you be scared? May you take dives sometimes instead of taking quarterback? Yes, you're going to have to make those decisions schematically, but this doesn't change the fate of the Baltimore Ravens. What changes the fate of the Baltimore Ravens is Lamar Jackson in that pass game being proficient and efficient in the playoffs, in the critical football moments. It's a coach understanding that we got here by running the football. There's nothing to prove because Patrick Mahomes is on the other side of the field. And that was Todd Monken as an offensive coordinator. I'm excited to see what this run game will look like from a physical standpoint, but this doesn't change the fact that Kansas City is the team to beat and Vegas still has it right.
All right, again, that was Ryan Clark on Get Up this morning. D-Mace, your initial thoughts?
One thing he was right about, it doesn't change, I think, who the favorite is to win or to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I don't think it's changed. I think as long as Kansas City has, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, more importantly, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, As long as those two guys are connected to the hip, they're always going to be, it seems like, the favorite.
Of course.
To win the AFC. Not necessarily win the Super Bowl, but win the AFC and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
And probably even to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. So, but that's more so because of the quarterback and the head coach than anything else. So he's right about that. But to say it was, I don't understand that. You're getting arguably the greatest runner of the football we've seen in the last 10 years. Like, he's been the greatest runner of the football we've seen in the last 10 years. His physicality, his speed, breaking tackles, everything. We have not seen a running back like this in the NFL in a very, very long time. So to sit there and say it's a when he's still playing at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro, he's playing at an All-Pro level. He's still playing at an All-Pro level based upon the numbers. He's still playing at an All-Pro level. And we figured taking less carries, and we figured if the line was better this year, then he would have probably eclipsed or gotten to the same amount of yardage he had the previous season, which was 1,500. This changes the Baltimore Ravens for this one reason. Because everybody says, well, it's up to Lamar. If they're going to get over that hump, it's up to Lamar. It's up to Lamar. And you're, for the most part, you're right. Because the quarterback has a lot to do in regards to getting you to the Super Bowl. You got to have him playing good football, not turning the football over. And he doesn't have to play great. He just has to play good enough without turnovers. You add Derrick Henry to that mix. What does it do for the Baltimore Ravens now? It does this. They do not have to put as much pressure on the quarterback. Kansas City won the Super Bowl because of this reason. And I will debate anybody across the table about it. They won because their defense took the pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. If their defense was an average defense to below average defense, they wouldn't have been nowhere near the playoff. Why? Because all of the pressure would have been put on their quarterback to get him there. And we saw it wasn't working. They had to figure out, somebody had to step up big in order for that to work. Patrick was Patrick, but everything around him on offense wasn't clicking. So they couldn't do it. So he was putting pressure on himself. You can see it in his face throughout the whole season. It's like, damn, like, what more can I got to do more? But then once the defense started to step up, they started to play better. Even with the drop balls, things started to calm down a little bit. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes knew, I don't have to score 35 points now. I can score 20 points and still beat you. Why? Because my defense is playing great now. That's the way I see football. I don't see it from any other way. You have a hell of a quarterback? Yeah, but that hell of a quarterback needs help. Tom Brady, greatest quarterback ever, he needed help from his defense. His defense is what carried them for a few of those Super Bowls. And hell, and then he sort of picked it up. He became Tom Brady after that. But it was his defense that held everything together. Kansas City Chiefs, the last two seasons, they won a Super Bowl. It was their defense that held everything together. Last year, he felt he didn't have to score 30 points. Once his defense got on the road, he didn't have to score 30 points. He just didn't turn the ball over. Just make catches when you need to make. We score 20 points, we win. And that's basically how it was. The Baltimore Ravens are in that position now where the quarterback doesn't need to be the end-all, be-all. Does he need to play better? Absolutely he needs to play
better. Especially
in
the
playoffs. And he knows that. Exactly. He needs to play better.
Yeah.
But if they have a Derrick Henry last year, remember, Kansas City didn't score in the second half. Baltimore didn't do much in the second half either. Why? Because that Kansas City defense.
Yeah.
But Kansas City knew, like, listen, we're going to start running the football. Our defense is going to hold you because you can't run the football and you're choosing not to run the football, and we don't think you can go pass for pass with us. So if I get a Derrick Henry, now you know what? I got more than one way to beat you. I don't have to go pass for pass with Patrick Mahomes. How many guys can go pass for pass with Patrick Mahomes in the NFL?
None.
Exactly. Maybe Joe Burrow.
Maybe.
Possibly. But nobody really.
The only one that's been able to beat him.
Exactly. Josh Allen couldn't beat him. Lamar couldn't beat him. Nobody could beat him. Purdy couldn't beat him. He had two shots of it.
If Jimmy Garoppolo can't beat
Garoppolo you. Garoppolo couldn't beat you, and then Purdy couldn't beat you.
I'm joking.
So they had two shots of it.
Yeah.
We got to find another way to win football games. This gives us another way to score points. As long as our defense stayed away, it has been or close to it. Now we can beat you running a football because you got to honor that run now. You got to honor both of them. And then they got another back coming back. So you got to honor that. And we can beat you passing because we're going to go out and get another wide receiver coupled with likely Andrews and Zay Flowers. We're going to go out and get another speedster or somebody we can count on. Now we have a way. Now we take the pressure off our quarterback. He's going to be Lamar. But in the playoffs, we need to play a different way. We need to have multiple ways to beat you and multiple ways to score. They didn't have that last year, or they didn't choose to use it in the playoffs. With a Derrick Henry, no. Ain't no running the ball 16 times, eight of it to run it, the quarterback. No. It's Derrick Henry's getting the ball for sure 16 times. And now Lamar, you can run eight times if you want to in the playoffs. They got him for the playoffs. It's not for the regular season, people. They got Derrick Henry for the playoffs. That's just why they got him.
I get so frustrated when I hear, well, you know, it's not that great of a move because it doesn't make you better than the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course it doesn't. Until any other team in the National Football League gets a quarterback that's better than Patrick Mahomes, and frankly, I don't think there's a quarterback on this planet that is better than Patrick Mahomes, then there is no move that can catapult you further than the Kansas City Chiefs, at least on paper. Mm-hmm. Because the Kansas City Chiefs have the best quarterback in the planet and has proven time and time and time again that he can beat you and he can carry the team on his shoulders, that he can do whatever he needs to do to win games, in the playoffs, and in the Super Bowl. So it feels, and I love Ryan Clark, it feels a little lazy to me to say, well, it doesn't make you better than the Chiefs, so it's a man move. Is there a move in the National Football League that can be made to be better than the Chiefs?
Unless you stack a team.
Unless Justin Jefferson goes to the Cincinnati Bengals, like all of Twitter was talking about was going to happen last night, which...
Now, that catapults them over Kansas City, I believe, if that was to happen.
Yeah, that would be the move.
Yeah.
And there is nobody in this city that would like to see that trio back together again than it would be me. But let me tell you, that ain't happening. That is not going to happen. But that is the only move. So I think it's lazy to say that, well, this move doesn't make you better than the Kansas City Chiefs, because it is still about Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. It is still about that passing game. It is still about Lamar Jackson playing at a higher level in the playoffs, 1,000%. It's about Baltimore replenishing some of the pieces that they lost defensively in free agency. Mm-hmm. They don't have Patrick Queen anymore. He's a very impactful player. It's about what the Ravens are going to do to fill some of those holes that were created, absolutely. But to say that Derrick Henry, one of the best running backs in the National Football League, being plugged into an already really good and stout running offense doesn't make them better? Mm-hmm. Just because it doesn't make you better than Patrick Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs doesn't mean that it doesn't make you better.
Look at the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills probably are closer because some people see Josh Allen as the third best quarterback in the National Football League behind Joe Burrow and obviously Patrick Mahomes. So if you got Josh Allen and you still can't beat the Cincinnati Bengals and you have you went out and you got running backs so you can run the football, okay? But even with that, the quarterback led the team in rushing attempts and rushing yardage.
Josh Allen
for Josh
led the Bills in rushing yards?
For that game, for the Kansas City game in the playoffs. Okay. He led them in rushing attempts. No, he led them in rushing yards, not rushing attempts. Rushing attempts was James Cook.
Okay.
But James Cook had 18 carries, 61 yards. But what I'm saying is this. Teams are trying to find other ways to beat Kansas City. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about finding a way to beat Kansas City, not in the regular season, because these teams feel we're going to be in the playoffs. Not in the regular season. It's in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. How do we beat Kansas City in the playoffs? Because if we try to go quarterback for quarterback, we tried it. We're not going to do it. We can't. We've tried every team in the AFC outside of New England, which New England did beat them with Tom Brady. It was close, but they did beat them. If the guy doesn't jump off sides, Houston, if he doesn't jump off sides, Kansas City, New England loses that game.
Yeah.
And they had the greatest quarterback of all times. You can't try to go quarterback to quarterback with Tom, with Patrick Mahomes.
You can't.
That's just dumb to try to do. Yes, you got to find other ways to win. That's why Kansas City is trying to find them a running game, because they understand that we need to also find another way, because if our defense isn't playing well, y'all not catching the football like y'all were not this past year, then it's going to be hard on our quarterback. Even though we believe he can do it, it's going to be hard. We need to develop a running game. Our defense now is stacked, so we're good. Other teams are now looking at that and saying, you know what? We got damn good quarterbacks, but we tried that. We went down that road, quarterback for quarterback, pass for pass. We can't do it.
You have to be multidimensional.
Exactly. What other ways can we beat Kansas City in the playoffs, not in the regular season? That's what it's about, Ryan Clark. It's about the playoffs, not about the regular season. These teams feel they're going to get in the playoffs. Now we're going to have to – one of us is going to have to play Kansas City. One of us. Hopefully it's not us. Hopefully we don't play them until the AFC Championship game. Yeah. But one of us is going to have to play them. And we know we can't go quarterback to quarterback. We can't go OC to OC. We got to find another way to win. How do we win? We get us a running game and we get us a defense. Slow the game down. Keep it dirty. Keep it mucky. And run our running back and slow the game down. That's what the Baltimore Ravens are thinking. They're not thinking about, oh, we need to go past. They tried it. Why am I going to do that again? Now we need to add to it.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, because – one thing that we've learned about Derek, you got to get him going. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's not good first handoff. He's not going to rip one for 80. Mm-hmm. Me, might, but you got to get him going. Do wonder how that looks in Baltimore mm-hmm. when he doesn't get as many touches, I believe, and what he did here. When he would have to, you know, the more he gets the ball, the better mm-hmm. he gets. He's not going to get the ball 35 times a game, 30, 35 times a game, not even probably even 20 times a game. So does that affect his play? I don't know. We'll see. But that is the one thing that I maybe have a question mark about. But you add good players to a good team, you get better.
Exactly.
It's not that difficult.
I think it's
a great move.
It's not like Derrick Henry went from 1,500 yards to 700 yards last year with like six touchdowns.
It's way better than that.
And it looked like he declined. He still was an all-pro back, if you think about it, based upon his numbers. He still was an all-pro Pro Bowl back.
All right, I want to get into your phones on this coming up next. We got a bunch of thoughts on Derrick Henry, so right to your phones we go. Caroline Willie D. Mays, hey, the NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and now it's time for you to sign up and play the official 102.5 The Game Bracket Challenge, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge or the 102.5 The Game Nashville app right now and sign up to play for your chance to win 4-day passes to Bonnaroo. Ooh, I didn't get Bonnaroo passes when I won.
Oh, you didn't?
I'll talk to the suit about that. Brackets will open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 17th.
Give it to Derek. Just give it to Derek. We're running up. Just give it to Derek. Just give it to Derek.
That was Lamar Jackson at the Pro Bowl a couple of weeks ago. I think you're going to start hearing that a little bit more. Lamar Jackson, just give it to Derek. Just give it to Derek. You hear that a lot. It's going to hurt. It's going to be okay. But Ryan Clark said he thinks the deal was meh. I disagree, but I want to get your thoughts on that. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Cameron Texan says, running the ball wasn't Baltimore's problem. Unless Henry is going to play quarterback in the playoffs, this doesn't solve their problem.
Again, how many times can I say this? It is about running the football. Because how many times did Baltimore run the football?
A lot.
During the season. How many times did they run it in that one game?
Not enough.
They ran it more times with their quarterback than they did with their actual running backs. Now, again, maybe they thought going into the game that they needed to open it up more and, you know, let the pass set up their run. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
You added Derrick Henry. I don't care how good your running game was. As good as it wasn't enough in the playoffs. And people, I want y'all to understand this. When you have a running back like Derrick Henry, it takes the pressure off your quarterback. If Kansas City had a true running game, or if they had receivers that were catching the ball, or if their defense wasn't playing the way that they're playing, mainly their defense, it would have put a lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes to win if their defense wasn't top-notch. But their defense was, so it took a little bit of pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. Now, he had to beat Patrick Mahomes to win, obviously, I know that, but it takes the pressure. If they're not capable of running a football, Kansas City, which they were, they ran a football effectively when they needed to. That takes the pressure off of the quarterback. Why? Because the quarterback doesn't have to worry about if, you know, Rice or one of these guys are going to catch the football. Now I could just turn it around and give it to Pacheco and let him start getting yards and let him eat up clock.
And they did that.
And they did that. So people, look at it from a logical football standpoint. It's not about who we were. It's about what we're going to be in the playoffs. This, again, listen to me. 15 years of playing. This was a playoff move. This not a regular. They feel we're going to be a good team in the playoffs. Now, their division is hard.
Yeah.
And it's gotten harder now.
That might be the tough
division. Yeah, they're going to have to tussle in there. But getting Derrick Henry was for the playoffs. So when they run up against Buffalo, when they run up against, more importantly, Kansas City, now I can beat you with more guys. I have a guy that you – Gus Edwards is a good bet. But you tell me, a defensive coordinator, any defensive coordinator out there in the NFL, college, high school, if I put Gus Edwards in the backfield, then I put Derrick Henry in the backfield, who am I more afraid of?
Derrick Henry.
Absolutely. Who am I going to pay more attention to?
You're crazy. It's Derrick Henry.
Gus Edwards is a good back.
Of course. He's not Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry has been a great back in this league. He's not that to that magnitude now, but you still have to pay attention to Derrick Henry. They set it up however they – now, what's going to be the challenge is this. How is Todd Monken going to sort of incorporate Derrick Henry into their offense? Because a lot of times they are in shotgun. But like Hutt said, they can go in the pistol, put Derrick Henry behind. They've done that before here with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
So it can be done. They will find a way to use Derrick Henry in the game. He's going to get the ball more than 16 times on average. It may be around 20 times. But there may be some times where he gets the ball 35 times. And there'll be some times where he gets the ball like 8 times, depending on what we need him. But we need him for what? The playoffs. So our quarterback doesn't feel like he has to be the end-all, be-all. That's what this is for. It's not for the regular season. It's a benefit. But it's really for the playoffs.
Ben Texan says, instead of Henry having to wear the defense down by himself, the Ravens running game as a whole can do it. But I do think all of his touchdowns will come within the 5-yard line. If so, that's a pretty great weapon that you have in the red zone.
Absolutely.
And touchdowns are touchdowns no matter where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree, yes, that now Derrick Henry doesn't have to do it all by himself.
Derrick Henry doesn't, or neither or does Lamar the quarterback.
Jackson,
yes.
Or Gus Edwards.
Exactly.
Or the Ravens' passing game. You at least are multidimensional. But I will go back to, what does Derrick Henry look like when his average touches per game are 15 to 20 rather than 25 to 30? But we'll see.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Willie Donick will join the show from Winnipeg. The Predators in action taking on the Jets tonight. Caroline, Willie, D. May, say tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Arkansas in the SEC men's basketball tournament at Bridgestone Arena. Pre-game at 5:30, tip at 6 with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.